Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more.
Hi, Claire.
Lisa, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I just feel like I haven't seen you all summer.
It's true. I haven't seen you all summer.
Yeah, we've both been busy, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we haven't been recording, but here we are again.
We are back together, the Dynamic Island Health Sisters.
Yeah, I'm excited for our next series here.
Me too, because we have some guest speakers.
We do, first time ever.
I know.
It's great. Yeah, so we're going to talk about physical medicine for these next six shows. For those of you that don't know, well, I'm a naturopathic doctor on the island, and Claire is a health coach and personal trainer, but there's a Facebook group called Vashon Healthy Living.
And really?
Yeah, you got to join it, Claire.
Okay,
and I will. Yeah, I was just asking people what they wanted to hear about, and one of our guests today responded. And so I got inspired to...
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Sorry.
Who are our guests today?
So our guests today are Diana Ammon and Carol Canterbury.
Hi, ladies. Hello.
They are massage practitioners on the island that practice myofascial release with a John Barnes approach. I have to get this right. The John Barnes approach to myofascial release. And so we're going to talk about that today because I think it's important that people learn about this therapy. And
I think one of the things that we've discovered from each other and through our little travels is that there are a lot of different aspects to wellness.
There are.
More than what one might necessarily think of, you know, right off the top of our head.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited to hear about myofascial release.
Yeah. So I just want to say welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Great to have you guys here. So why don't we just start? You guys could just tell me how you became involved with myofascial release.
Started with me.
Yeah.
This is Carol. I was taking a course in arm massage for my license, and one person was working on me, and it felt different than anything I'd ever felt before. Hmm. I could feel my soft tissue moving in a way I'd never felt, and it felt really great.
Wow.
And I was just so surprised. So he was an assistant to the teacher. So I cornered him and asked him what it was. It turns out it was myofascial release the way John Barnes teaches.
Nice.
And who's John Barnes?
John Barnes is a physical therapist. He's about almost 80 years old. He has been developing his myofascial release technique for about 40 years.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. What about you, Diana?
Well, Carol and I are friends, and she told me that she was going to take this course in March a couple of years ago, I think. I don't remember. And she was selling it to my boyfriend at the time, and he was sold on it. So he paid for my course. So we took our first course in MFR. Yeah. We took our first course in MFR in Spokane. MFR
yeah,
one.
In Spokane.
Yeah. And then that following summer, we went to Sedona and did a, what do they refer to as an SES?
Skills Enhancement Seminar for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we followed around a couple of physical therapists and a massage therapist and kind of shadowed them and worked with them.
Mm, nice.
So I know both you guys are massage therapists as well as myofascial release
practitioners.
What's the difference?
You have to have a license to touch to do any of these body work practices. So first of all, when you normally think of massage, it's that great Swedish massage that feels really good. That's what people usually mean.
Mm-hmm.
But since I'm licensed to do different kinds of body work, if I get training in something else, then I can add that to my practice. Like Diana does hot stones.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? What are the modalities?
Reflexology, Lomi Lomi, lots of different things. I'm Reiki as well.
Nice.
So the difference between massage, would that be that you're working on muscles, whereas myofascial is muscular fascia? Is that correct, the difference?
That's precisely the difference.
And for our listeners, can you describe where the fascia is compared to a muscle?
I'll tell you, when I was in school in 96, they said, well, the fascia is like that slick membrane over a chicken breast. We've all seen that slick membrane. And, okay, that's your first layer of fascia. That's your what you think it is. And people had been studying cadavers when the priests, people, of course, were already dead. So they didn't understand because the fascia got all the fluid was gone.
Yes.
So they didn't think it was very useful. Mm-hmm. And now with electron microscope photography, we can go into the body and see that the fascia is around every single cell.
Wow. That's amazing. Cool.
So if that's true, having your fascia be hydrated and malleable or pliable, am I using the right words?
That's exactly right.
Would make a huge difference in someone's comfort level, maybe regarding like even a sore muscle or a painful condition?
Yeah, the more fluid you have in your body, so your fascia has fluid, the more fluid can move through the fascia. It's actually microtubules. So what they say is both energy, light, and water, fluid, go through the fascia all through your body. But when your fascia is tight and dehydrated, nothing moves.
Very interesting.
So then you can see if you get stuck here and here and here. Is this reminding you of maybe fibromyalgia? Mm-hmm. You get stuck in places in your body and then they start to hurt. And you don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
This approach is actually a radical change from how fascia and soft tissue and physical therapy had been done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And since Barnes has been teaching it now for 40 years, it is permeating the physical therapy, occupational therapy industries. And he's often requested at doctors' symposiums to talk because he's bringing something in that is a completely different perspective than what they came through school with.
Right. That's amazing. I mean, this isn't the first I've heard of myofascial release, but just like hearing your descriptions, it's like more people need to know about this. So,
yeah. I guess I'm curious. He's been practicing it for 40 years, you mentioned. What's the history of it? Where did it start? In this country or some other place in the world?
A lot of people were excited about fascia, I don't know how long ago, within the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. Out of this interest in fascia came things like Rolfing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people say John Barnes' myofascia release is like Rolfing without the pain.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've studied Aston patterning, and it's the same kind of thing. They understood about the fascia. They understood the fascia is a matrix that holds the soft tissue together, that gives you, say, your posture.
Mm-hmm.
But they were trying to force it.
Mm-hmm.
And what Barnes discovered, mostly through his guides that spoke to him in his head when he was in a lot of pain, what he discovered was that fascia will voluntarily move if you touch it in a way that allows it to expand rather than trying to push it.
I love
that's
that.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never forced.
Right. I love that. Like just thinking about naturopathic medicine too. It's like I like to use therapies that are going to help the body do what it needs to do on its own rather than trying to force it. So that's great.
You mean like you might be if you just gave it a pill or something?
Yeah. Even just a supplement or something like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use homeopathy and things that helped.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, then if your fascia are well hydrated, which we're always telling people to drink more water, and not stuck, then you're going to have the opportunity to have less pain or stiffness, be able to stretch more. I mean, tell me, Diana, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I'd like to address that because I like to liken it to saran wrap. If you imagine saran wrap over your whole body and you had some kind of trauma, and it can be simple, it kind of twists the saran wrap and how it affects the whole body. Mm-hmm. It kind of gives you a picture of what it's like. And I don't think very many of us have gone through this lifetime without having some sort of trauma, both physically and emotionally. And what I was going to relate to you was about emotional trauma as well, which gets stuck in the body that we're unable to have any reason for.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Say more about that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to talk about my experience that I had when I was in Sedona with Carol. We had the opportunity to be worked on by some of the therapists at a reduced rate. So we, you know, got whatever we could. And I was being worked on the table, and Carol was assisting, and they were moving my rib cage. And as that was happening, I was experiencing a lot of pain in my back, which was not anywhere near where she was touching. And as we delved into it further, she was able to talk me through it. And I said, well, it feels like I'm being kicked in the back. And it's like, it feels like maybe my brother, you know, and all these emotions came from not being protected by my parents, from
that
my brother kicking me in the back.
Yeah.
And when I sat up, there was an actual bruise on my back that Carol herself witnessed.
Like the imprint of a shoe.
Oh, wow.
As she was,
no,
her body
way.
Was,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of a selling point.
Wow. Yeah.
The thing about that's different between regular massage and myofascial release is massage is about helping you feel good. It can sometimes address a specific pain. Myofascial release, normally you come with something you really want to work on. You may not know, like in your brother, as in Diana's case, but something that's bothering you, you notice how your body is just not comfortable, or you can really perceive poor posture. And your goal is to help the fascia all through your body release. A person might start working on you on your feet, although you had a shoulder complaint, because you're following the fascia, that saran wrap, and helping it to relax. And the technique feels very different. Massage, it's there's a certain pace, and you're used to feeling your muscles squeezed and relaxed. In myofascial release this way, the hand goes on your body, and it rests and relaxes right there. And it might move a tiny bit, but it stays with what the fascia, the barrier, the first barrier of the fascia. So you're not pushing it. You're just right next to that barrier, and you might wait 5 minutes. So your experience on the table is quite different.
Yeah.
You don't get your whole body touched. You're touched in certain ways and letting that fascia move. And then after you are done with your treatment, the next day or the day after, it keeps moving a little bit. And you may have memories surface. You may find yourself walking differently.
So I'm wondering, so you mentioned coming in with something that someone would want to work on. So if I came in and said, I'd like to work on my lower back, would that tell you to touch my feet, or would you go to my lower back? Or because you're talking about how the pain is felt in different places. I don't, how do you know?
Well,
where to touch?
We would do a postural assessment probably first, and to see what's going on with you. There's certain, obviously, low back indicators. There's the, you know, the certain muscles that you look for when you have low back issues. If you had something that that warranted medical attention, I would tell you definitely go to the doctor first, but I would work with you. And I'd probably check your leg differentials. I can't even talk. Your leg...
Length.
Thank you. And we may bolster you with some bolsters to get your hips in alignment. Generally, that's where you want to start, is to make sure that your hips are in the right place, and everything else seems to fall in place after that.
Well, I guess that would be, there's muscles going south and north, right, from your hips?
Correct.
There's not a protocol. It's so different from massage. When I trained in massage, it was like you had a certain series of steps, and you did certain strokes one after the other. So first soft strokes, and then a little firmer. Then you're doing the squeezing strokes, and then the patting strokes, the tapotement. It's not like that at all with myofascial release. It's sort of, you have to be so present and in the moment to understand and feel the body that you're working on and learn at that moment what the next step is.
Can you feel, if let's pretend you had your hand on someone's back, can you feel when the fascia begins to release?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And is there's it a heat sensation?
Well, if you were doing a leg pull or an arm pull, you can actually feel it lengthen. There's also, there's a lot of this work is intuitive. So you have to go with what comes intuitively where to go. Oftentimes there is an ischemic reaction after you've done one release somewhere, which is the blood will come to the surface and it'll get all red in an area. And that generally means there's a stuck area there. So you'd want to go use that as an indicator to go work there next.
Okay.
So it kind of takes you all over the body.
Interesting.
What I love about this is that it's really a spiritual practice. And what they say is you only can go with your client as far as somebody's already taken you. So it's a constant excitement to get treated yourself. And because every time you're treated, you go deeper into having presence and being able to be present with the person that you're working on and understand how more deeply you can go with them. You don't necessarily get a strong emotional release the first time you get on the table, but you do get the fascia beginning to move in the body. Mm-hmm. And people get off the table and they say, well, I feel lighter and I feel calmer.
Yeah, nice. I just have to pause for a moment to say you're listening to 101.9 FM, KVSH, Voice of Vashon, and I am Dr. Lisa Morse, naturopathic doctor, here with my co-host, Claire DeNice, health coach and personal trainer. And we're talking to Diana Ammon and Carol Canterbury today about myofascial release, the John Barnes approach.
So I could take you back to your experience where you ended up with a shoe print on your back. Would that happen again? Or does that mean that the Saran wrap has been untwisted and you've like dislodged that memory now? Or could it be that it has you might go back there more often if there was a lot of, I don't know, emotional trauma?
Correct. You could definitely go back there. Each time it's like the peeling of an onion, you know, you're just, it's one more thing that you're getting rid of. It's a process that you're continually yeah. peeling.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering what kinds of, so do people come to you with certain conditions or complaints or, and what kind of things do you see most often and help people with?
Well, I'm actually retired from a different business completely.
Oh.
And I do my massage work on part-time, and I've only been doing this particular work for a year and a half.
Okay.
So I have a very small sample to choose from. Mm-hmm. I can say that people I know that do this full-time, people do come with pretty standard things like fibromyalgia mm-hmm. or a stuck shoulder or the low back pain that so many of us experience. Mm-hmm. There's a whole huge amount of symptoms that can be dealt with through myofascial release.
Okay, great.
And for me, I just interjected a little bit in my massage. You know, I'll say, you know, I'd like to try a little bit of this here. People come to me and they'll say, you know, I just want a general well-being massage, but I do have some issues with my neck or whatever. So I'll address that first because the myofascial work, you don't use oil at all. You want the skin to be dry so that you can have a good contact with the skin. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes I'll do, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of myofascial work, and then I'll go into the massage because people like to feel good.
Right.
They want to feel like they came in and got, you know, touched all over a little bit, and they want to go out feeling good.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. Well, this summer I had the privilege of working on somebody who was recovering from a stroke from about 3 years back. And he had been valiantly doing lots of physical therapy, and he was always improving. But I was just stunned to see with his one arm that was kind of seemed a little swollen, it felt quite different from his other arm. And over a period of months, I saw him about once a month, and he was doing his other things. But every time he'd come back, I could tell and feel the improvement. And when I worked on him, he had a tendency to grasp his hand like in a claw. When I would work on him with a myofascial release, his hand would relax and stay relaxed. Mm. And that's what I just so love it when it's so effective.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was wondering if you guys could speak a little. You mentioned Sedona, and I know it's a big, big energy place in Arizona. If you could speak a little bit to the intuition part of this, where you have to kind of, you know, intrinsically decide where to go.
Well... And for that piece, I'm really grateful that I did some Reiki training 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it had already given me that piece. And then I, you know, 14 years as a massage therapist, I've kind of gone to the other extreme where I'm like, I have to see things medically where they are and how things work. And so it's good to have the baseline of the information of the body, but you have to let all of that go when you go to the intuition part of it, and you just have to suspend it, and you just have to be as present as possible with the person in the room and notice what their body's doing. And we haven't really talked about the aspect of what they call unwinding, which the body does as well. Sometimes when you're in the middle of doing a release, the body will spontaneously move. And sometimes, and we've had this experience in seminars and whatnot, people will end up going off the table and moving and ending up in positions of when they've been in accidents and things.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
Yeah.
That gives me goosebumps.
So it's fascinating.
It just gives it a stronger case, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. Yeah. It sounds amazing. Yeah. So do you guys have any other interesting cases that you've had that you wanted to talk about?
It's really tricky with Parkinson's. Mm. I had been working on a person with Parkinson's, and it's just every time I'd work on him, he would, at the next session, say that he slept better that night.
Nice.
And differently, I've heard other myofascial release therapists say that they have had some success with Parkinson's. And of course, that's always just trying to prolong the amount of time that you're here feeling well.
Right, exactly.
So I've heard Parkinson's,
fibromyalgia,
mm-hmm. Stroke recovery, other kinds of conditions for which somewhat typically people might reach out to you?
Well, they recommend that, you know, after birth, from the get-go, that you start, you know, you have that memory of that trauma of coming through the birth canal, as well as the mother has that trauma of giving birth, you know, and so
as a baby.
Yeah, as a baby.
Oh, wow.
They have a specialty in that alone. Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege this summer of working on my niece right within the week after her delivery.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't had the training in infant myofascial release. But with her baby, I could hold it. But then when I lay it on the bed and just put my hands around the area of its head, it was really an intense experience. And I wanted to relate another experience that I had in terms of the energy. When we were in training this last spring, Diana and I went over to Maui because that's where they were having an 11-day training.
Nice. Like, that's convenient.
How fabulous. Yeah. And I wanted to volunteer to be the body, you know, that he works on for one particular demonstration, which is a move that I just couldn't master yet. Mm-hmm. It's a real tricky one. So I was laying there on the table because I made sure I just jumped up and walked up there and took my shirt off because I was going to be the one. And he's doing this release on me. And so his hand is between, I'm face up, it's between my legs on my sacrum. So his fingers can feel my sacrum. And I just have like bikini on from a two-piece bathing suit. And I'm laying there, and I just feel huge waves of love coming from him. Mm. I can hardly feel any pressure from his hands. I just felt so wonderful, and it was so inspiring.
Mm. Wow, nice.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And, you know, back to the baby now.
Yeah.
When grandson was born, I went with my daughter to an appointment, and I don't exactly remember who the doctor was, but he was laid down on the examining table, and one of his legs was bent and the other was straight. And so she did some manipulation of his hips, and then both his legs laid out straight. And I don't know what she did, but it wasn't real obvious. It wasn't like she yanked on him. And then also she turned his head in one direction, and his head turned. And when she turned his head in the other direction, his shoulders moved as well. Mm-hmm. So she did some other touch kinds of things and then released so that his head turned equally in both directions. I was pretty amazed. Hmm. And he was, you know, less than 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that sort of made a believer out of me. I have a question. Oh, sorry. Go, Lisa.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to ask you guys to explain like what someone's going to experience if they're come to see you, just so we can give our listeners an idea of that.
You know, Diana did mention the postural analysis.
Right.
So that's what we generally do first.
Okay.
And the way it works to have that best is to have them clothed in some way. Like I mentioned, the two-piece bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm more comfortable with people wearing shorts and a halter top or something like that. And I have spares at my practice room, too, just so in case they didn't bring them.
Uh-huh.
And then a person stands and we analyze, you know, how their body is holding itself. Then they can lay on the table. Now, if you're doing Swedish massage, you're undressed and you're between sheets. But this is more like a physical therapy setting. So you're in the shorts and a top and you lay on the table face up without anything over you, like no blanket or towel.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is another postural analysis just to make sure the hips, how they're laying. Because as Diana was mentioning, it's really helpful to put a bolster, a little wedge under each side of the hip at a different angle each so that the hips settle into some other kind of way of holding themselves.
Mm.
And then you're right at that place where you know what you've seen intellectually, and you start watching the body, and you see where it pulls itself. Maybe one shoulder slips up towards the ear, or one foot turns out more than the other. And then you have to slip yourself into more of an intuitive awareness. Where are your hands feeling drawn to? So the person's laying there. There might be some nice music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly warm in the room. And then they're feeling a hand, say a hand on the thigh, maybe two hands on the thigh. And they just stay there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the thigh starts moving, maybe turning in towards the center of the body. And the practitioner is just sitting maybe on a stool, just holding their hand there, waiting to see what the fascia is willing to do. Because when it does release, it actually changes its state from like a solid state to a gel state. So it becomes more fluid. As it relaxes, as it allows the fluid to flow through the microtubules, the hands move with the whole body. It's not just the surface of your skin. You're actually contacted, so you're moving way deep into the body through the whole matrix of the fascia. And it moves, and then it moves some more.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a three-dimensional movement. So wherever your hands are guided to, sometimes it'll go deeper. You know, sometimes you want to move to the left or right, or the fascia will guide you where it wants to go. And I wanted to mention there is a YouTube video, Strolling
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin, which is a great look at the fascia and how it works. It's just a little short video.
Cool. That's a great idea for people to get some better visualization, because I'm thinking that this whole idea of saran wrap and the fascia layer over the muscle is new to a lot of people. And it's been really good to have you guys here sharing your personal experiences and your expertise with us today.
Yeah. Do you guys have any last minute thoughts for our listeners that you want to?
I'm learning is that it's important for a person to understand and be devoted to wanting to work on something, because when you get into the fascia and emotions get released, things come up. A lot of times people kind of hit their ceiling and they need to go away and process maybe for 6 months.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good thing to know.
You definitely have to be willing to go where you want to go. I mean, you have to be willing to do the work.
And re-experience, because as emotions come up, they flow through you. You might be crying. You might be hollering. It's your fascia is releasing it, and you actually express it again.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. So I think what I'm taking out of that is if someone feels, let's say, uncomfortable in their body, or if they feel somehow life is just as they're just not quite how they used to be, maybe they feel a little stuck or something, maybe it might have something to do with lack of release.
Yeah.
Emotions stuck in the body.
It's stuck.
Certainly different than, say, going to counseling or therapy would be, because it's stuck in your body.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's pretty fascinating.
It is.
It's making a believer out of me.
Yeah, I know. I want to get some treatment right now.
Yeah. Do you do demos over the radio?
We actually did a demo this summer.
Oh, you did?
Diana had this great idea, so at Strawberry Festival.
Oh, nice.
We had a tent, And we had signs up and people came in. We did about 10 minutes. And in the few days afterwards, there was two or three people that said, oh, I'm so much better. Remember the one, her hips?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had improvement.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
That's really cool. I didn't go to Strawberry Festival, but
I did. And for some reason, I'm thinking I might have talked to you, Carol. I don't know why. I just feel like I stopped and talked to you a little bit. It was pretty hot, so I didn't want to linger along the road too much. But again, we're going to have to wrap it up for today. But
it's been really good having you guys on. And
well, thank
I appreciate
you very
your time and just and educating us about it and our listeners and encouraging people to reach out to you if they think that you'd be helpful to them, which I do think you would be.
Oh, thank you. I do too. Yeah. I think people are searching.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are a lot of places that are not the beaten path in terms of feeling better. And certainly a pill is not the answer. Okay, Lisa.
All right.
Well, it's been great. I look forward to our next show. And
again, thank you again, Carol
too.
And Diana.
So until next time, this is Clarity Nice, health coach and personal trainer.
And this is Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician. And we just encourage our listeners to be inspired and empowered to take control of your health.
Take care, everybody. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.